Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. I don't have Dead Penetration today. He is... Well, we're gonna have a big ice storm. So, they already closed the schools down here, and he's like, no, I don't want to chance it. So, that also means that our normal... I know it sucks, but Married with Children and Captain N are canceled this week. I don't know. I'll figure something out. I'll probably play something we don't normally play. I'll give you City of Broken Dreamers to the end of it, to as far as I can cover. So I'll make it up for you that way. But other than that, no, we're not going to be able to have DP at all tonight. So sorry about that, guys. Anyway, we have Empress here.
Hi.
And she is...
That's me.
Yeah. She's going to kind of start us off because after the huge rant I did about that conservative guy that pretty much wanted to ban all anime, I'm all ranted out. So I'm going to go ahead and let her rant. And then, of course, we have several articles that we're going to discuss from over the week. And you guys, well, we'll get to hear all that. And, of course, Empress will be discussing that with me. But first, our sponsor. I haven't heard from Revy that much. I don't know what he's doing. But at any rate, you can still pick up a Spinning Robot Pussy from SpinningRobotPussy.com. So make sure to go pick up one of those. They're great, I've been told. So pick one up and get one for your doll or yourself or your grandmother. Or, well, that probably wouldn't work. But, you know, just whatever.
You can put one in your doll?
Yeah, your grandpa...
What?
Yeah, that's actually made for that. It's actually made for that. Revy's a robotics engineer.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, Revy's a robotics engineer, so basically it came pretty normal for, you know, to him to kind of design the whole product and get it all working. And there were several prototypes. One guy almost lost his junk testing one prototype. But...
Yeah. Bro. What a job.
Yeah. But it worked and he's happy with it. He is happy with it.
Hey, man.
You know what?
That's really cool.
So you are a little low in the mix, and I'm going to have to turn you up a little bit, because I tried and it didn't work. Oh, I know what it is. The volume booster is occupied. Please exit other apps. Yeah, of course it would do this to me. Hold on. Shouldn't... Oh, yeah, no. You sound... Speak now. Let me see how you sound.
Hello.
Yep. Much better. Okay, that's good. So that thing basically lied to me and told me that my volume booster wasn't working, and it is. So I don't fucking know. Anyway. So what do you got to talk about? You said you had some rants. So I'm gonna let you take over and basically rant. What's on your mind?
Honestly, the only things I can really think about to rant about is how I don't really trust gay men because they're like averse to pussy.
I don't trust
anyone who doesn't like vagina.
Well, Revy's gay, so I'm curious.
Sorry, Remy. But what happened to you that made you hate vagina so much?
I don't even think it's that. He said to me when I did an interview with him that it wasn't so much about that. It's just that he wasn't necessarily attracted to that. But you got to understand, the thing that Revy seems to like the most is his work. He really seems more interested in his work and, you know, he's got a big work ethic. He's, you know, a very wealthy guy. He's built his own wealth. And he works very hard, so he's not really attracted. I mean, I'm not going to say that he doesn't have urges, and he says, you know, The fact that I'm a gay man, it's really easy for me to just go ahead and pick up guys, but I'm not really that interested in it. He says he really likes to do his own thing. He does have a doll that he uses. So I'm not, you know, I mean, it's his thing. It's whatever he wants to do. And also, I know another gay guy.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I was like, my brother-in-laws that I was raised by, they're gay, but they don't hate vagina. But like, I've met so many gay people in the past like 10 years that cannot stand the sight of vagina, and those are the ones I'm talking about.
Well, that's kind of weird. No, I can kind of understand, like, because some guys don't like, I mean, a lot of guys, they don't like looking at the dicks, even though, to be honest, a lot of porn that you watch, you know, there's a lot of guys watch that. If it has a guy in it, there's going to be a dick in there somewhere. And, of course, the guy's like, well, yeah, but I don't look at that. But you're still kind of seeing that off your peripheral vision. Like, it's still kind of there. And maybe it affects you like that. I don't have any idea how that works. But anyway, that's my whole rebuttal to that about, you know, guys like, oh, I don't like looking at dicks, but you see a lot of dicks in porn. And of course, there's this one guy in a server, I'm not going to talk too much about him, but he happens to like futanari, which is women with dicks. So, I don't know. I mean, but he doesn't, like, again, he's not into...
So you're telling me that a transgender woman that still has a penis is called a nari?
No. Okay, the futanari stuff is a little bit different. Futanari is like, it's a biological female with a male penis, and they're usually oversized or quite large, and sometimes they have balls, sometimes they don't.
So, an intersex person?
It depends. This is more
someone
of
who was born intersex that has both parts.
No, that's a hermaphrodite. That's gonna be like
they're called intersex now.
Yeah, that's true. But I have played games, like a game where there was a character like that that had both parts. But no, it's really rare in that case. No, but basically what they have, it's a Japanese fantasy about a beautiful woman that's a biological woman. It just has a penis instead of a vagina. It's really, really weird. And a lot of guys... it's really stupidly popular because I did some research on it. And apparently futanari porn is extremely popular with straight men. I don't know how or why, but it is. So...
well, you know, I did catch my daughter's, my daughter's dad, I caught him, I snuck up on him one morning, and I opened up his phone, and he was hungover, and there was trans porn. Like, there was definitely, like, dudes in skirts fucking other people. And I was like, oh, so this is what you're into.
So
I guess there is some, like, interest in it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's, they said that it's peaked up 75% on Pornhub. I'm like, damn, that's high. I didn't really...
but how could you be biologically female with a penis unless you're intersex?
That's a good question. I don't know. Power of Japanese fucking art, I guess. Japanese art... remember, Japan has freedom of expression, like full freedom of expression. Which is kind of odd because they have freedom of expression, yet they still have to censor almost everything. Like, I'm talking about they can show... they can basically do the craziest stuff as far as their art and movies and all that, but they have to censor them. So we can do something really crazy and fucked up, but we have to, as long as we censor certain things, we're okay, we're allowed to have it, because we have a freedom of expression law. Now that's caused a lot of problems over here in the West, because some things that Japan has a freedom of expression with, it doesn't work here in the West, where they're like, whoa, Japan, that's too much. Like, I completely understand where they're coming from. However, you know, one thing doesn't mean another thing. Like, they treat things a different way because they have a different culture. They have a different cultural respect and appreciation than we do in the United States, Canada, and the UK, you know, parts, we're talking about the whole West. So that's the difference there. So when we're talking about Japan and this, we can have a biological woman with a penis that doesn't have a deep voice or talk like a trans, you know, just regular, you know, normal voice, like as normal as you, and just have a penis. And it's really bizarre. Like, I don't get it, but I understand it because I know there's a lot of people.
Yeah, but like, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
They're called intersex people.
Well, yeah. I know that. But I'm just saying it's really rare. Matter of fact, the woman that actually has, like, both...
Not that rare, actually.
Well, the woman that has both...
Met several people like this.
Really? That's odd, because, again, this... Yes. I mean, I've done some research, and...
And usually when the woman has both, it's, like, a super enlarged vulva... That's shaped like a penis.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's a penis coming out of the vagina, which is kind of how this crap actually started in the hentai movement. Because there was this character, she basically made a pact with a demon that would give her this large penis that would come out of the vagina. And that was how she would basically... it basically put her in a man's position. It's how she got to dominate people. That's kind of what it represents.
Well, you know, I really like domination too. I'm a little bit of a megalomaniac, you know.
Right. Well, there's a lot of women out there like whips and chains. When I was doing my Starless stuff,
I don't like whips and chains. I like other forms of domination.
Well, I mean, like I said, when we were going through Starless, of course, they don't actually have whips and chains in that, but they definitely have women that overpower the men. Like, the male character is very overpowered. Mm-hmm. Same with Dominance, which is another game we don't really have fully translated yet. From what I've played, it's very much a woman overpowering a man. You do this for me. No, you do. And they've actually given her powers so that she has the ability to literally overpower the man. Like, in a biological sense. Like, you normally men are stronger than women. But if you're from another, I don't know, the future, and you have this power that you can do things to men, that you can literally pick up a full-grown man like he's nothing because you have powers, yeah, that causes a whole new level of domination. That's kind of...
You don't even need those kinds of powers to dominate men. All you have to do is look pretty.
That's true, because I know, I mean, that's why we have the simps that we have, you know, where there's all these guys that are like, oh, I drank her bathwater and all that. Of course, men have been saying that forever, but these guys, they actually went as far as to buying it. Remember that Belle Delphine where she was selling her bathwater and people were buying it? Like, she was selling it for lots of money and people were buying it, all of it.
I don't blame her. Sell it, bitch. Sell it for what all you can get, girl. Get what you can get. But seriously, like, I never felt like, personally, I knew I had this power, but I didn't feel right using it.
Right. Well, go into detail a little bit. What do you mean, like, where were some situations that you had where you're just like, you know what, I don't want to take advantage of this guy?
So many situations where, you know, like, I was dating an architect and, like, I could have had this man eating out of my hands, and I was just like, I don't want to do that to you. Situations where, you know, I don't know, just really nice guys, and you're like, you're such a nice guy, and I would just ruin you. I don't want to hurt you, so I can't accept you.
Wow. So do you think that a lot of women actually, like, have this ability? And, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where I was going to say, you know, like, a lot of women have this ability, and they're aware of it. And I think they use it more. I was going to say, do you think they use it more? But I think we know they use it more because look at OnlyFans and all these other sites where women clearly have men eating
out. They are using it more.
God, yes. All you got to do is take some makeup and dress up real nice and boom, there you go. You got all these guys, you know, it's like... It's amazing. I'd never believe it. And some of these women, you know, I mean, I don't want to say anything too harmful, but they're not like supermodels. You know, they're just regular attractive women that you see every day. But I don't know. Is it maybe just these guys don't have the social skills to talk to a woman that looks like that, and they're just kind of like, fine, I'm just going to have it as a fantasy from afar. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But you know, I think everybody is in different places in their journey. And we're all figuring out this thing called the internet. And it's completely changing the way that we interact with one another. And so younger generations have harder times having face-to-face conversations, and you and I both know how difficult that was in our time, let alone now with these kids who are used to phones and games and all kinds of things without, you know, traditional social interactions. Yeah. So, you know, it's just like it's easier for these guys, you know, to go to those situations. Sometimes, like, some guys just, you know, are like man whores. And like, they have great women with them, but they still want to look at other women. You know? And yeah. Some guys just, like, I don't know, like, they feel better living a double life. So they live one life and then on the internet they're a different person, and that's how they satisfy their kicks. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I gotcha. And I mean, also, like, I was talking to my friend last night and he was talking about all these girls he's talked with and like all these younger girls, you know, he's 40, he's, you know, trying to hit up 20 somethings, that's what he likes the younger girls, and he's just like, well, you know, yeah. There was this one, he says to this girl, like, I'm gonna put him on blast for this, he goes up to this girl and like everything's going fine and she's interested in him and stuff, and all of a sudden he says to her, hey, chicken lips, and she just fucking flies off the handle, and I'm like, dude, why the fuck did you call her chicken lips? He said it just came out.
Fucking boomers is what it is. It's baby boomers. They're fucking assholes. They're fucking dicks. They ruined the world.
Well, my friend's only 40, so damn, he's not a boomer. Boomer's like 50 plus, but. But I get it,
Gen Xers. I clump Gen Xers with the boomers because they didn't do nothing different.
Yeah, I guess kind of, because I mean, I'm 30, I'll be 38 this year, so I'm getting kind of close to that level, but no, I don't even think it's that. I think it's just like, dude, maybe you're drinking too much, because dude told me straight up, he's like, I've been drinking for the past 3 weeks. I'm like, why? Why are you drinking for the past? Like, what the fuck's going on? This is a guy that doesn't do that. He's got real estate properties. You know, he plays in a heavy metal band.
The fucking COVID and life sucks right now. Fucking shit. Everyone's drinking right now. Who's not drinking right now?
I guess. I understand. But he's calling me and just telling me.
The world is falling apart. We're in war. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's telling me everything. He says to me, he's like, man, I just want, and I'm like, okay, and he's 40. You know, like, I expect this behavior from a lot of the young guys I see. But he says to me, man, I just want a wife.
He's just not that much older than me.
He just says, I just want a wife and kids and to fucking travel the world doing what I love, you know. And I'm like, and he's already been with a woman, you know, he raised some kids, and He raised her kids. She had a bunch of kids, and he raised them, and they're, like, full-on teenagers, and he taught them all this stuff, and basically, him and the mother, they got into it. She thought that he was a bad influence on the kids a little bit, and I don't know. I mean, he's old school. Like, he's like, I'm a man. He's like, a lot of these girls, like, these, you'll find a lot of them, the younger ones, that are looking for a man. Like, they don't want these, like he said, soy boys or the soft boys. Because he said, you'll see a lot of girls that want that now. But he said, some of them, you just got to know where to look. And they'll definitely hit up, like, a guy like him. Or there was even one of them that was hitting up a 58-year-old guy. She'd rather be with him. But she says that there's a lot of sugar daddy shit these days. A lot of sugar daddy stuff. And he says to me, he says, all right, man, what's the difference? If I pay a girl to, like, if I have a girl over my house and basically buy her dinner and all this other crazy stuff, or if I just pay her for sex. He's like, what's the real difference? And it's like, well, yeah, I guess you're kind of right about
that. Ain't none.
There ain't none.
There ain't none.
There's no difference. It's just fucking prostitution under another name. That's all it is. And now, and the old guy, he says, man, she looks nice, but I'd rather just pay for the sex. Like the old guy says, like what everybody's thinking, and it's true. And
yeah, well, you know, I'd rather have that than a bunch of guys thinking that all they have to do is take me out to dinner and I'm going to show out for them.
Right.
Like, no, you got to do more than just pay for my dinner.
Well, he said straight up, he's like, if the girl said, hey, if you give me $250, you could fuck me, would you do it? A lot of guys are like, well, yeah, $250, yeah, I mean, because that's straight up, that works. That's what a lot of guys really want, but we can't do it in this country because, of course, we got all these really weird, archaic laws, which, yeah, I understand there is sex trafficking, I understand there is, we talked about that. But not every single fucking woman that is, I mean, all these single mothers, not you know, I know you are, but I'm talking about the, not just single mothers, there's married women out there that are doing it. It's everybody. I'm not even talking about mothers in general. I'm talking about just single women that would rather literally just, like, there was a girl I was talking to, she says, look, I drive the guys, I pay for everything, and I have sex with a whole bunch of them, and I just feel awful at the end of the day. I'm like, some women just don't get into it, but some women are like, yeah, whatever, it's a way to make money. Like, I'm sorry, some women need the extra money. If there's a guy going around giving you like $100, $150 just for like, I don't even know, like how long does sex last these days? 10 minutes?
Oh, can last a lot longer than that. It can be a lot of work, bro.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying for a lot of guys, though. It's like, a lot of women are telling me, oh, it's like 10 minutes. 10, 15 minutes, something like that. It's like, damn. And you make like $250. Somebody will pay like $500 to $1,000 to bang some chicks because they have that kind of money. It's like, shit, here's $1,000, meet me in this hotel. And that's it. I mean,
Honestly, when I started off and I wasn't getting paid shit, it sucked. But when I got my clientele,
mm-hmm,
and I started making the big money, it was worth it.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
I had good food, a good home, good meals, good clothes, had men that cared about me, and I didn't have to commit to any one of them, and they were okay with each one of the other ones, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad that worked out for you. Well, all right, but we're going to go ahead and get on to the articles. I'm going to start with this first one. This is a completely different kind of topic than we normally talk about. However, it's useful because both you and I are big fans of rock music and stuff, and things have changed a lot. You did say the world's kind of going to shit, and it's going to shit for rock, too,
mm-hmm,
badly. So, mm-hmm, Dream Theater's John Petrucci. This man is a legend on guitar. Go listen to him if you haven't heard of him. He is amazing. He basically said today, well, it was a day or so ago. Yeah, it was one day ago. Dream Theater's John Petrucci. Young bands need to have a reality check. Dream Theater guitarist John Petrucci spoke about how young progressive metal bands should approach building their career, noting that a lot of them need a reality check to temper their expectations, given how challenging working as a musician in today's landscape can be. There's no doubt that the industry has changed quite a lot over the past few decades, but the post-pandemic world put a couple more mean twists on an already unfavorable situation. Even heavy hitters like Devin Townsend and Fear Factory's Dino Cazares argued that the loss of venues and touring staff, as well as the increased costs of other logistical factors, made touring barely profitable, all of which would also affect bands that are just starting out. Combine that with As Behemoth's Nurgle, which I did an interview with, likes to remind us the sheer abundance of artists in the digital age, and you've got one tough situation. Speaking to the Heavy Hook Show in a new interview, he argued that up-and-coming fans really need to be aware of the economic realities before they get serious about a career in music. Well, it's really challenging now. For young bands, it's expensive to go out and do this on any level. This is what I've been trying to tell my friend, because he's like, I just want to go out and play music and tour the world. Those days are almost kind of over. They're kind of over. And my advice is you've got to be willing to put in the hard work and make really big sacrifices if you want to do this. I remember doing this as well back in the day on our first tour.
So much harder to tour. Because they don't have all ages clubs like they used to. They don't have clubs like they used to. And you can't just play music like you used to.
No.
Like the venue will get fined if you do a cover.
Really?
Crazy. Yes. Like, yes. If you do covers too long, the venues, someone from some organization will come and say, you can't have a live band doing covers for profit without permission, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll be like, oh, well, now you got to make a whole new set. Well, luckily for us, we had a whole new set. But yeah, so that kind of stuff happens all the time. And it's just not the same. It's just like the clubs are harder to get into. And the bands that they have at the clubs are just shit. Who are these fucking bands? Like, nobody wants to hear you drone for hours about, like, your fucking hippie philosophy.
Really?
Go kick rocks, you fucking hippie. No one gives a shit. Make some fucking real music.
Yeah. It says,
thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. I remember doing this as well back in the day on our first tour. We had a van and drove ourselves, didn't get any sleep, and didn't get any money for performing. And eventually, you know, we made things happen. I think bands need to have that reality check. And the ones that do and are willing to do it, and do it with a great attitude.
I remember.
Attitude. Go ahead.
Sorry, you're reading the article. Reading the article. I didn't realize you were reading it.
That's okay.
Shit. I was just going to say, I remember squeezing in between the bass guitar and the fucking bass drum in the back of the van just so I had enough space to ride with the band the entire fucking cross-country trip. And we only ever made enough money for, like, food and gas to, like, maybe the next place. And, like, usually we had to, like, you know, busk.
Damn. And he says, the ones that do are willing to do it and do it with great attitude. I mean, a lot of these guys, they don't have a tech. They're their own tech. They're packing up their stuff. There's one crew guy if they're lucky. It's hard. It's a hard, hard life at that early stage. So as long as you have perspective on that, you're willing to do that. It's that type of thing that's always easier when you're young. But you know, we also do it for the same reason, for the love of the music. And being in that position, as I always say, providing the entertainment for the evening. We love it. So
that's right. It was always the fucking love of the music, bro.
Right.
Like all the times I snuck out of my bedroom window and took the city bus just to go find live music as a freaking 8-year-old kid, okay? Like, it's always been the love of the music.
Let's see. Oh, man. So, I'm also seeing this, I'm looking at, you know, the Dead Space remake came out, and apparently somebody made, like, a collage of all the screens from it. Apparently there's a lot of woke garbage in this new one, which makes sense, because all the people making the games are literally those hippie people you're talking about. Those are the ones making the games now. I already talked to a game developer that graduated from San Francisco College. He's already told me what we have to look forward to for the next few years, or what we unfortunately have to look forward to, because, yeah, these guys, they're on this woke shit now. I'm looking at it. I mean, I've heard the game is good. Like, it's actually fun. But they wanted to add their own bullshit into it, like their own little woke messages.
So, yeah, what is woke exactly?
Woke is when you push something, okay, like, I'm okay with progressive in general, like the idea of progressive, but woke is when you force things on people. It's like, hey, we gotta have, you know, alright, I'll explain it like this. Say you're watching a movie, and the character just happens to be black. Like, you're like, okay, cool. Like, Blade. Blade's black. Nobody fucking gave a shit. He was awesome. Wesley Snipes was badass. But then they're like, okay, well, in order to be inclusive, we're gonna make sure that he is... And it's not about him being black. Let's make him... I don't know. Let's make him, Chinese or something like that. And like, Chinese Blades? Like, why? What was wrong with the Black Blade that we had? Like, the Wesley Snipes, they could just get another guy to do it. Or we're just gonna put a woman in it. Not because we think a woman would be good for the role, but we're doing it because we want to be inclusive. Like, Disney does a lot of this shit. Like, let's take this character and just change the color of him. You know, he's white in the comic, let's make him black. He's whatever in this, let's make him Mexican. Let's make him Chinese. You know, it's like, sometimes it's okay and it works, it's not a big deal. But the thing is, they always try to push this stuff. And it's gotten to the point where some people are finding things woke that aren't really woke, that they're just progressive and they're, you know. Or let's make this person trans. Let's make that person trans. Like, and they weren't trans, but there's even characters that they will say, oh no, they're trans because it's a woman in a man's role, and it's actually supposed to be a trans person. And it's like, no, that's not how that goes, you know, just shit like that. They constantly want to push an agenda using characters. Instead of making their own, they want to, like, let's have a black gay Superman. Like, That's what they're saying. Let's have a black gay Superman. Let's have a disabled Spider-Woman. Like, how does that even work? It's like, and I'm talking about, she has a wheelchair. It's like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense for that character. You could make a character that's disabled that isn't Spider-Man that would be interesting to read. Or they have this one character, she used to not be, but they decided to make her like a 300 or 400 pound woman. And they try to make her do all these athletic stunts and stuff. And that's just really not possible at her, you know, being 300-400 pounds. So they give her all these abilities to fly and all this stuff. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it turns out being a joke more than it does being serious. And again, I'm okay with progressive characters because I've read a lot of comics that are progressive. Like the Transmetropolitan stuff I'm reading here. The Invisibles. Which actually has a trans character way before it was a thing. You know, way, and when I mean it's a thing, I mean before it was common and mainstream for a lot of people to want to do the trans thing. This is a character that actually, you know, it was influenced the Matrix. A lot of that shit. I've been reading Transmetropolitan, not Transmetropolitan, but The Invisibles lately. And The Invisibles has a lot of that. So, it's just... I mean, and that's fine. Like, I've got no problem with them doing that. But again, there's a thing behind... There's a thing about making a character different because it's cool or it's interesting instead of making a character because we feel we need to. Oh, we gotta make that person this because of this. Rather than just say, hey, I got this guy. He's black. He's a hero. Deal with it. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's like, can you write a good story with him? Can you make him, like... I talked to a black guy about this. He said if they make Batman or Batman black, don't make him Bruce Wayne. Because as a black man, I don't understand the story of Bruce Wayne. Like, that doesn't work for me. It's like, you gotta make him about, like, a black guy that I understand. Like, same thing if you're making a Hispanic hero. Right. You gotta give it, like, you have to have that culture. You can't just say, oh, he's whatever. But they did Miles Morales, you know, really well. And he's part black and part Hispanic. And he's a very good character. I watched the Spider-Verse movie. I thought it was great. I didn't think it was really woke at all. Like, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that movie. So I don't have a problem with these things. But, and another thing is, another thing about woke is when you're trying to push, like, the progressive hippie politics you're talking about into the movies, into the games, into the comic books. Why do you think that all the kids are reading manga now? Because they got tired of the American comics preaching to them all the time. They just wanted to see some fighting and some battles and some serious stories. They didn't want to hear about how they're bad for being white people. They don't want to hear how they're bad for being, you know, straight. There's literally comics that are demonizing people like that. And they're like, I don't want to fucking read about how I'm evil. I'll just read about something else. So they stopped it. And they stopped it so hard that the comics aren't even selling. They have to basically turn the damn comic shops into manga stores because they've got 5 rows of manga now and like 1 row of comics because nobody's fucking reading them anymore. I mean, they killed Superman. They wanted to show how, you know, Batman is gay and... Batman's not gay. He's Bruce Wayne. He's a millionaire playboy. He got around with all kinds of different girls. He always had women. Even in the old cartoon series, he had women. So that's what I mean by woke and progressive and just regular normal content. Now, there's also pushing it too far when, you know, like, there's the conservative push too because, like, I'm more libertarian thinker, so I don't push too hard one way or the other. And I don't like when people push too hard one way. Like, I've been fighting a lot of moralists now that's like, oh, porn should be banned. All of it. Every single bit of it. You shouldn't masturbate at all. Like, stop doing that. Oh, yeah. There's a guy by the name of Connor Tomlinson.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, there's a guy by the name of Connor Tomlinson. He's only 21 years old. He's a really young guy. And he basically wants to write for DC Comics. So basically, he goes in here and he writes this article about how manga's bad and how you're basically, even though the characters have a cute look because it's a different culture, they say, oh, they're all children. You're strictly wanting to get with children. But this whole thing that this guy's talking about is he wants to ban all of it. He said, if we ban all the anime, all the manga, all the stuff that the kids are reading, he thinks that they'll go back to DC and Marvel. Because, well, we don't have the Japanese stuff anymore. We've banned it from our country. So, basically, he can get a job at DC writing comics. I actually looked at his LinkedIn profile. It's not hard to find. And if you scroll down a little bit, it says, secretly, he says, I've been waiting for DC to knock on my door. Because I want to write for comics. And that told me everything I needed to know. So, it's not so much about, oh, these are kids and you're basically fantasizing that they're children. No, it's like, we want to get rid of this because I want to write for comics. He's a Christian and he wants to basically push his, like, and I don't have any issue with Christianity, anything like that. But there's a moral authoritarianism that I don't like. I don't like social authoritarianism and I don't like moral authoritarianism. Basically, social authoritarianism is where they say, this is best for the society. Doesn't matter what you like. This is best for everyone, we think. And then there's moral authoritarianism where they're like, well, this is morally best for everybody. This is in a moral society. But again, it depends on the morals. Morals change depending on where you go. You have different cultures. There's different situations. Like, they were trying to equate porn to, like, violent video games. Like, no. It's just... It's really, really, really stupid. I mean, I don't know how you feel.
I mean, some morals change according to culture, but, like, I think overall there are some morals that, like, should not change according to culture.
Absolutely. I'm not going to say that some of the things that go on are right. However, there is one thing that was actually made as a response to Connor. I'm not going to go back through that because we did a 3-hour fucking stream on that. But basically what I am, putting it simply, what this guy said was, you want to live and, like, you want to pretend that the world is all good, or that the world is a good place, that everything is great. It's not. The world isn't, like, a perfect place. You want to pretend that the world's perfect. It's not perfect. We don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a all-black or all-white world. We live in a gray world. The world is gray. There's really good things. There's really bad things. And you have to kind of just accept that there are things in the world that we don't like. And unfortunately, there's not much we can do about them. We can talk about them and say it's awful or horrible that goes on. But there's no stopping these things that are going on. Like we talked about with the elites and Davos and God knows what kind of bullshit they're going to try to push on us next. I mean, for saving the planet. We're going to have to get rid of things you like because we have to save the planet. No. These people don't fucking care about saving the planet. They never did. But that's what we're talking about. And I can't stop these people.
They actually care about reducing the population because they're honestly, like, hell-bent on annihilating humanity.
Yeah, and we got an article about that, actually, since we go into that. Let's see here. I've got one. All right, because I did a... Oh, yeah, well, no. Speaking of that, let's just get into this. Basically, there was a whole Project Veritas video that said, and we're not going to go through it, but the Pfizer executive, now they're thinking, people are trying to say these are staged, but a lot of people say they can't be because there's too much qualitative information, like the data on these people is legit. Like, the people they're interviewing are legit. It's like they're interviewing a pedophile, and the guy says, "You're not a police officer, are you?" Like, yeah, that's kind of what they're doing. That's why
I've seen the Project Veritas videos. I follow them.
Yeah. But that's why they ask, "Oh, you're not from Project Veritas, are you?" Because they know that.
Yeah.
And then what do? Just like the pedophile, they fucking admit to bullshit. The fuck shit that they are actually up to. Jordan Tristan Walker says, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can create and develop new vaccines? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you can imagine, no one wants to have a pharma company mutating viruses. Don't tell anyone. Promise you won't tell anyone. The way it would work is that we put the virus in monkeys. And we successfully cause them to keep infecting each other, and we collect samples from them. You have to be very controlled to make sure that the virus doesn't create something that just goes everywhere, which I suspect is the way that the virus started in Wuhan. The lab over there. It makes no sense that this virus popped out of nowhere. It's bullshit. From what I've heard is that they're optimizing it, but they're going slow because everyone is very cautious. They don't want to accelerate it too much. I think they are also just trying to do it as an exploratory thing because you obviously don't want to advertise that you are figuring out future mutations. So, it's pretty crazy that the guy is saying...
Well, did you never hear about the theory about how AIDS was created by using bushmeat and injected into the population on purpose?
No. Didn't know that.
Then I see why this would be a surprise for you.
But then he says, the big one, which I actually heard him talk about. He says, you're not supposed to do gain-of-function research with viruses. Regularly not. We can do these selected structure mutations to make them more potent. There is research ongoing about that. I don't know how it's going to work. There better not be any more outbreaks, because Jesus Christ, he said before the fucking T-virus broke out of the damn labs in Resident Evil. Oh, man, I hope there's no more outbreaks here. I hope we don't have any outbreaks. We don't want zombies walking around.
Did you guys hear about the entire truckload of, like, lab monkeys that flipped over and escaped and, like, caused COVID symptoms and pink eye in a lady?
Uh-oh. Not even surprised.
No?
No.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Yeah, this happened. This was real news.
So, speaking of old Bill Gates...
This happened in the...
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it happened in the U.S. too. Nope. It was like in Minnesota or some state with an M.
In Minnesota. Well, damn. Somebody better tell Nick. All right. So we've got Bill Gates asked why he's buying so much farmland. Here's his answer. It says... All right, I own less than 1/4,000 of the farmland in the U.S. I have invested in these farms to make them more productive and create more jobs. There isn't some grand scheme involved. Sure. In fact, all these decisions are made by a professional investment team. It said, conspiracy theorists claim that he was buying up farmland in the U.S. in order to starve Americans for an unknown reason. I don't know about that. But Gates owns 242,000 acres, amounting to 0.03 of the total. To put it in perspective, if all of Gates' land was in one place, it would cover about 25% of Rhode Island. I don't know if I trust that. But then look at this. Bill Gates sees China's rise as a huge win for the world. China's rise to a leading economy in recent decades has been a huge win for the world. But the U.S. and China currently face a lose-lose mentality in their relations. Microsoft co-founder and billionaire Bill Gates said at a forum in Australia on Monday. I do think the current mentality of the U.S. to China, and which is reciprocated, is kind of a lose-lose mentality. If you ask U.S. politicians, hey, would you like the Chinese economy to shrink by 20 or grow by 20? I'm afraid they would vote, yeah, let's immiserate those people. Not understanding that for the global economy, the invention of cancer drugs. So Bill Gates, let me get a clarification here. When you say cancer drugs, do you mean drugs that cure cancer or drugs that cause cancer? And the solution of climate change, we're all in this together. We're humans. We innovate together, and we have to change the modern industrial economy together in a pretty dramatic fashion. I'm very aligned with Australia's former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd on this, Gates said. In the U.S., we'd be a minority, where people are kind of hawkish. I think that could be self-fulfilling in a very negative way. I tend to see China's rise as a huge win for the world, he said, who also addressed the pandemic, energy, Ukraine, and other topics. Gates has a fortune worth $103.2 billion. Damn, that's a lot of money. Let's see. China's shrinking population.
I would do a lot better things with that money.
Yeah. And for those of us that are getting old, the Washington Post has found 6 ways to slow memory decline and lower dementia risk. They got a new study of more than 29,000 older adults has identified 6 habits, from eating a variety of foods to regularly reading or playing cards, that are linked with a lower risk of dementia and a slower rate of memory decline. Eating a balanced diet, exercising the mind and body, having regular contact with others, and not drinking or smoking. Oh, I'm fucked on that. These 6 healthy lifestyle factors were associated with better cognitive outcomes in older adults. And, of course, there is a link between dementia and factors such as social isolation and obesity. Let's see here. Trying to see if there's anything... Okay, physical exercise. Doing at least 150 minutes of moderate or 75 minutes of vigorous activity per week. So, get up and move around a little bit. If you have a job that does that, great. I do. I have a job that keeps me active. So that's good. Diet. Eating appropriate daily amounts of at least 7 of 12 food items. Fruits, veggies, fish, meat, dairy products, salt, oil, eggs, cereals, legumes, nuts, and tea. Oh, I've been drinking more tea lately. Alcohol. Never drink or drink occasionally. Well, I drink occasionally. Smoking. Never having smoked or been a former smoker. I would say I've never smoked cigarettes, but I've smoked weed. Cognitive activity. Exercising the brain at least twice a week by reading and playing cards or mahjong, for example. In other words, like gaming in general. So, my mother actually is getting benefits on this. She is 67 years old. And she actually constantly plays games on her phone, which she says does help her out. And again, those are a lot of memory-related games. You know, anything like that that keeps your brain active, keeps you challenging your brain. Strategy. Strategy is very important. Because if you can keep your brain focused on a strategy, then you can keep your brain generally, you know, stopping, declining. People decline when they stop using their brain or stop needing to use their brain for things. If you just lump around on the couch and not do anything, your brain's just going to turn to mush. And reading. I read all the time, as you guys know. Even reading your little hentai and visual novels, that's reading. There's words in there I can't pronounce sometimes, so I'm learning new words as I'm playing these games, which is weird, but... Okay, social contact. Engaging with others at least twice a week by attending community meetings or visiting friends or relatives, for example. So there you go. So if you do at least 4 of these things, you are less likely to progress to mild cognitive impairment and dementia. So make sure you're doing these things. And they're things that I think everybody here can do. Everybody watching this can do that. By watching this, you're actually kind of doing this, I guess. Maybe in a way, because it's getting your mind to think about different things like China. And even if it's speculative, it gets your mind thinking about what is Bill Gates really up to? You know, that keeps your brain cognitive and active. Conspiracy can be a good thing for the mind because it's critical thinking. And critical thinking is very important for the brain in general. I mean, what do you...
Well, when I lived on communes, when I was in my 19s and 20s and 21s, all of the people I knew were always talking about how owning land is money. And so, I think Bill Gates knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I think he does too. Let's see here. I've got some... Oh, we're not going to go with that one. Let's see. Hold on. I've got some... I thought I had some stuff in here. Oh, yeah. Okay. Listen to this asshole. He says... This is Daily Mail. I'm a self-made millionaire and bought my first sports car at 19. All men should have a Lamborghini in their 20s. $200,000 is just chump change.
Go eat a bowl of dicks, you fucking bitch.
A podcaster has been slammed online after he claimed all men in their 20s should own a Lamborghini because $200,000 is nothing more than chump change. Sebastian Gorgue from Detroit alleges to have made $8 million in 6 years through various sources of income, including setting up a Google ad agency, flipping houses, and making YouTube videos. On top of this, the entrepreneur, who boasts about 825,000 subscribers, also has made money through his drop shipping companies. Dropshippers act as the middleman between a business and a customer by accepting orders without keeping any stock or handling the product. This week, a clip from a recent podcast episode he filmed caused a stir on Twitter after he insisted that all young men should be able to afford a sports car. And the viral clip, which has amassed over 2.4 million views, he said, if you're a guy in your 20s and you don't have a Lamborghini, you should actually sit down and have a serious discussion with yourself as to why you don't have a Lambo. Because I realize now that it is so incredibly easy and there's so much more money out there. $200,000 relative to what is out there in circulation.
Bull ass bitch. Had money, came from money, born from money, had money to make more money, you little cunt.
Yeah. Because he was saying $200,000 relative to what is out there in circulation and what you can grab, especially now with AI tools that you can leverage like never before. It's chump change. Sharing the clip online, disgruntled Twitter user Joshua Hill wrote, I think we need to halt podcasts until we figure out what is going on. He said, leverage AI? Why didn't I think of that? It all seems so simple now. Oh, I want to throw up after listening to that. Love their idea of success as just owning a Lamborghini. Like, that's the baseline of success. Success, a meaningless status symbol. Not even a nice house. If anyone in the replies agrees with
them... Yeah, I know, right? Like...
Oh, yeah,
do you know how many nasty-ass men had nice-ass cars and they wanted to be with me? When it was like... You are nothing. You are not a real person. You are just flash and show and insecurities. Like, you're not real.
Right.
So, no. Like, how are they going to say that just having those things are a success symbol? Success of what? Success of, like, ripping other people off so that you have more?
Right. Needless to say, the footage also rubbed up other users the wrong way, prompting hundreds to mock the businessman in the replies. If anyone in the replies agrees with him, you need to DM me and send me $100,000 since it's chump change. Otherwise, your reply is invalid. In response to the backlash yesterday, Sebastian tweeted, this 18-year-old kid I know starting dropshipping a couple months ago. Did 12,000 by noon today with 30% margins and had to shut off ads because he needs a credit card. And you're still winging because I said you should be able to afford a Lambo in your 20s. Grow up already. And another follow-up tweet he added, back then people had to physically work to earn money nowadays. And you can push buttons in bed and make 10,000 more, maybe even 100,000 if you're smart about it. Last year, Sebastian, whose parents emigrated from Romania to the U.S. in late 1980s, uploaded a video on his YouTube channel where he delved into his career thus far. The 24-year-old said he always dreamt of being wealthy and started working at $8.25 an hour in Taco Bell and KFC when he was in high school. After then working at a car wash, he bought an Infiniti G35 car, which inspired his first business venture. What kind of fucking car wash did you... I guess he must have just put a down payment on it. I started flipping cars. I had 9 cars.
Because...
Somebody bought that for him.
Because he lived in a house.
Yeah.
That he didn't have to pay rent for.
Yeah.
And he got to save up all his money and use it for whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. He claimed, I started flipping cars. I had 9 cars by the time I was 19. After originally aspiring to become a neurosurgeon, Sebastian recalled how he dropped out of college to become a real estate agent after discovering fellow YouTuber Graham Stevens' tips. Sebastian explained, he sells homes, saves the money.
All he cared about was money.
Right. He buys rental properties, rents them out, and collects passive income. I was like, yo, I want to do that. I don't actually want to work. I want to have freedom to do whatever I want and be rich.
Exactly. Everybody does. Yeah. But you know what? In Scandinavian countries, they actually get paid to create music, and they have free housing and free food. What a concept.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's a little communist in some ways, because again, the government's paying for all that. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
People are paying for it. People are paying for it through their taxes.
Well, isn't that the government in
some way?
No, the government
is the people.
Huh.
I mean, the government's like essentially, in a way, sort of, in a way, but like right now, our government is paying for people who aren't even from here to come here and live here. But right. Wouldn't you rather use our money to pay people who are from here to actually do shit?
Yeah. He added, so naturally what a 19-year-old boy is going to do when you give him money is he's going to buy a Nissan GTR. It was my dream car, and it was like my first trophy, my first staple of success in my life. I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I literally do not know.
Oozing privilege.
Let's see here.
He's oozing privilege, and he's oozing a lack of a misunderstanding for those without the same privileges.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I'm going to end this with a big topic, and this is the Mr. Beast thing. Mr. Beast cured the blind and sparked a fierce ethics debate. Jimmy Mr. Beast Donaldson is one of the most successful YouTube creators out there. A master showman who has cultivated an image of himself as a generous philanthropist, using the money he makes from sponsorships and YouTube videos to fund even more ambitious charitable endeavors. At 24 years old, he boasts 130 million YouTube subs and is currently one of the most influential people on the planet, having figured out how to entertain the masses through high-budget publicity stunts that help the needy. Mr. Beast's videos are either footage of him and his friends goofing off, or random acts of extreme generosity with titles like Giving $1 million of Food to People in Need, or I Gave $200,000 to People Who Lost Their Jobs. Mr. Beast's latest video sees the YouTuber help cure the blind, partnering with SEE International, that's C International, to provide manual small incision cataract surgery to 1,000 patients, filming their delighted reactions in the wake of a successful procedure. A surgeon featured in the video stated that half of the 200 million blind people in the world could be cured with a simple 10-minute surgery. However, the video sparked controversy online, igniting an interesting ethics debate. Why are people upset? Mr. Beast's habit of showering strangers with cash for content has long been a bit of a joke on Twitter, because his charitable acts tend to conceal an uncomfortable truth under the shiny surface. The fact that these videos are created primarily for clout and profit imbue them with a dark undertone, especially when young fans view them as acts of messianic empathy. After all, one can't always depend on the kindness of YouTubers. Essentially, Mr. Beast's videos are much like those feel-good news stories that hide a bleak reality at their core, like stories of children raising money to pay their parents' medical bills, or teachers having to go to extreme lengths to provide classroom supplies. Dystopian acts of desperation framed as inspirational and empowering. Mr. Beast's curing blindness video, labeled with a particularly distasteful thumbnail, really emphasized the fact that this simple life-changing medical procedure has become content because of the fact that it's inaccessible to those who need it. This led some Twitter users voicing their discomfort, even labeling the video demonic and mocking him. Some people think I'm mad at him. I don't care.
That bullshit.
Some people think I'm mad at him. Don't care about him at all. In fact, I think he's fascinating and a bizarre person. I don't know what to tell you if a single rich guy paid for a life-changing surgery for us, and it's easy to do this, doesn't set off any kind of alarm in your head. And then, they were saying, in response, Mr. Beast's fans grew defensive, pointing to all the acts of charity he funded, which likely amounts to more do-gooding than all of his critics combined. After all, most people just don't have the inclination or the funds to pour money into charity. And the person's like, he shouldn't be making money off of it. Yeah, he's getting views. I mean, so? I'd so much rather get the surgery than no surgeries at all. I'm sure the people in the vid...
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, oh my god. Do you not understand what life is like for most people in this planet?
Right.
How are you going to criticize something that someone is doing that is good for others? whether or not he's making a profit off of it. At least it is benefiting others. Do you know how many people make profits off of things and it doesn't benefit a goddamn single soul?
Right. Right. Got a point there. It says, so I'd much rather get the surgery than no surgeries at all. I'm sure the people in the vid felt the same. Hey, Mr. Beast, please pay for my surgeries. I'd be happy to help make content. And then, of course, they're saying, surely in a world of exploitation and widening wealth inequality, isn't it preferable to have at least one massively wealthy person out there throwing cash into good causes? There are, after all, plenty of creators out there who don't even pretend to be interested in charity. They're right. But many of the critiques aimed at Mr. Beast's video were not aimed at the YouTuber, but the system that incentivizes this kind of content. Now, this guy's kind of a commie, but it says political streamer Hassan Piker watched Mr. Beast's curing blindness video and stated that watching it made him filled with rage. He went on to explain, "We shut off access to a 10-minute procedure because we paywalled it and decide that some people can't get it, simply can't get it." Piker continued to express his frustration, stating that it shouldn't be up to one guy to provide surgery to people who are too poor to afford it themselves. Mr. Beast is happy to take credit for enriching these people's lives, but would it be so difficult to take a few seconds per video to explain the conditions that led to his subject's suffering? A little context could go a long way. And then, of course, they were saying, it says, to put it another way, Mr. Beast's entire business model depends on the suffering of the poor classes. And to his credit, Mr. Beast did acknowledge the injustice in a tweet that questions why governments aren't following in his footsteps, writing, "I don't understand why curable blindness is a thing. Why don't governments step in and help? Even if you're thinking purely from a financial standpoint, it's hard to see how they don't roll on taxes from people being able to work again. Don't ROI, I'm sorry, not roll, don't ROI, rate of income on taxes from people being able to work again." Piker responded to the question, writing, "Plenty of capitalist nations have decided that healthcare shouldn't be paywalled. Unfortunately, the wealthiest nation on earth ain't one of them." See, here's the issue. Here's the issue, because I understand where he's coming from. But the issue with communists, the issue with communists is you give somebody an inch, they take a mile. They're like, okay, so we'll make it so people have access to better healthcare, the government helps out. I mean, like, we do have a lot of surgeries or stuff that's paid for, Medicare, healthcare, stuff like that. We do have that. However, it won't end there. Next, they're going to want, again, free food, free housing, not have to work at all. There's a lot of people that just want to not work at all, not want to put any money in. And the thing is, that's actually going to But I'll explain.
Why should we not have free food?
Oh, well, here's the reason for that. We only have... The problem with having... Okay, the way TFM explained this is very, very reasonable. You know, in Star Trek, they have a replicator. So they can basically go up to a turkey dinner and they can use this item. They can tap a button and you have another turkey dinner. And you can make 150 million turkey. You can make as many turkey dinners as you possibly want. You just push a button. You never run out of turkey dinners. Doesn't matter if you kill all the turkeys in the world, there's still going to be turkey dinners for everybody as long as you hit the button on the replicator. Unfortunately, we don't have that. We don't have the ability to replicate food and resources. And the issue is, like, with countries like Venezuela, where they're like, okay, fine, let's do that. Let's try it. Let's have the government and all the rich people, you know, pay for us to kind of just get a handout, you know, if we don't want to work or don't want food, you know, want free food or whatever. Because, yeah, everybody should, you know, that's like a hippie mentality of everybody wanting to have this big commune. That's why we call it communism, because it's like a commune where the government pretty much pays for everybody and everything's communal. That works fine if you have a replicator. TFM said that several times. If you can replicate infinite resources, communism would work and it would never fail because you'd never run out of resources. You'd never run out of money. You could simply just continue to to make more resources. You can hit a button and you'll have more oil. You can hit a button, you'll have more animals, food, water, whatever you need. You just hit a button and it's there. You never run out.
That's why individual communes in a capitalist society work.
Well, yeah, individual small communes, sure. Because it's only a small amount of people.
Yes.
And they basically provide for each other. That's not an issue. I have no problem with communes. I've even talked to other people about that. Communes are not an issue. Communists are a problem. Because the problem with the communists is the communists wants the entire world to be run like that. We don't have enough resources.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
To support an entire... We'd run out of water. We'd run out of food.
No, no. No, here's the thing. We do have enough resources, and we have enough technology. We just refuse to fund it.
Well, that's the thing, though.
We can grow vertically. We can create grow houses. We can grow vertically. We can grow hydroponics. We can take water out of air. We have the technology to do these things. We have the technology to clean up the oceans. We have all of the tech. The governments just don't fund it because the governments aren't run by the people. They're run by corporations.
That's actually a good, yeah. I mean, that is a good point. I mean, I still think there's a point where even if we did all that, we would eventually run out of things. I know that we can definitely, all right, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying there aren't things that we can't replenish.
That's where, okay.
Because we're reaching a planet, okay. Because we're reaching a planet of 9 billion people. That's a lot of people. And we're running out of resources already. We're running out of things. Things are getting, we're going to see gas climb to the moon because they're trying to switch us over. By the way, I looked at the CES Consumer Electronics Show, and all the car manufacturers are working on electric digital cars with screens that you can basically put anything. You basically get your car can look like whatever you want it to look like. Instead of having a color, you can make it whatever color you want. You can put whatever design you want in your car. You can, your windshield, they're actually going to roll out the windshield soon. But the windshield you'll be able to basically use as a cell phone. So you can basically, you can even go in the metaverse with your car, but I don't recommend it. I would not want anybody on the road when they're in virtual reality. You're supposed to be driving. You're supposed to be driving your car in the real world, not in the virtual one. But, yeah, that's some of the things they're working on. Because they're trying to get people off of the fossil fuels. We're going to run out of those. That's actually a non-renewable resource. We will run out eventually. That's one thing I try to say. Even if we did all that, we would have to get energy and resources from somewhere else. That's why they're thinking about mining resources from asteroids and other planets. That's why people are thinking to go to other worlds because we're going to need their resources.
Oh my God, like we already have this technology, and our ancient ancestors had this technology, and we can have it again, and we're moving into it, and we're going to have some resistance, and a few people are going to control it. And that's just the way that it's gonna be.
Right.
Like, hopefully you're on the inside of the inside. But if you're not, then, you know, hopefully you got some cute kids and they make a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're right about that. Because we've already talked about Davos. Where they want, well, I mean, what do they say? They want a walled city with 9 million people. Okay, one problem. We got almost 9 billion people. So, basically, they're going to start, like, a nuclear war. They got to. I mean, come on, how else do you get rid of, like, I mean, what are you going to do with the other 8.9 billion people?
If you've looked at some of what they've said, like they've talked about, like, the rest of the people not assimilating and creating, like, their own societies outside of that one.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of reminds me of A Brave New World, which I'm like, out of all the dystopian futures, A Brave New World is kind of the one I can get the most with, because at least they didn't kill you for, like, not assimilating.
Now, the only thing about A Brave New World is Like, they basically would give you a soma if you felt like, oh, nope, you gotta get a soma. Like, you weren't even in control of your own emotions at that point. Which, I mean, you have to think about it because depression is hit so hard, we'll probably roll into that fucking territory.
Aren't we already there? Like, look. Get all of the technology, all of the TV, all of the games, yeah. all of the porn, yeah. all of the internet, yeah. all of it is distractions. They yeah. are all drugs.
Yeah.
They are all curated. All these people know how your brain works.
Yeah.
They are advertisers and they know more psychology than psychologists do. They know how your brain works. They know how to...
Right.
manipulate you. Like, they've been doing it. We were born into this capitalist society. They've been doing it since we were born.
Right, right, right. And you're right. I've talked to a lot of people in those fields. They are definitely hiring people that know how the brain works. They are definitely 100% trying to do that. Yeah, they're drugs. I mean, let's be honest. They're drugs. Let's not beat around the bush here. A lot of people are. The porn, the games, the TV, everything. Yeah, of course. But, anything that escapes... Anything you use to escape reality can be like that. Absolutely. And some people get addicted. Like, there's people that can't stop playing games. That's just what it is. That's the opiate for the masses. It's literally the bread and circuses. We're in the age of bread and circuses. The world's collapsing, but here's all the bread and circuses. And we'll make you more bread and circuses. But there is an issue. It's good that I have you on here because this is something that it just popped up in my head. But eventually this is going to lead, even though I like the whole idea of AI and robots and all that, eventually it will literally lead to a break, like, the youth already can't communicate. That's one thing that my friend was telling me about the Zoomers. They can't communicate worth a shit. He says they're Zooming all around. That's what he literally calls them. They're Zoomers. He can't stand the hardcore kids. He said they drive him fucking crazy. He doesn't want nothing to do with them. He'll never go to another hardcore show in his life. He's done with that whole scene. And, he's turning into an old man. But, I mean, at the same time, there's some wisdom there. There's some knowledge there. You're seeing these kids... not have any real social skills, and they're being arrogant and narcissistic and crazy, and it's all about, like, Andrew Tate. One thing about Andrew Tate, he was all about that, you know, get status symbols. Look, I bought a car. Look, I bought a house. Look, I got all these beautiful women. Like, he's literally trying, and this is what the guys want. Well, I want a car and a house and beautiful women. Of course. I mean, that's literally, it's like, well, if you follow me, I'll give you all those things. And lo and behold, he reached more fucking young people. Young people, Empress. We're talking about fourth graders were being reached by this guy. That's crazy. I've never seen anybody in this whole sphere of men that has reached fourth graders. Where the fourth graders are looking at this girl and say, get away from me, you hoe. Like, fourth grade? Really? I wasn't thinking about that in fourth grade. I'm sorry. I didn't even know what a hoe was. I thought a hoe was a garden tool.
I know, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
And this is what the guy's
There were different dangers in our times. Like, there was... You grew up in the country. I grew up in the city.
There
were different dangers in our time. Like, there were gangs, and there were, like, we didn't know anything, really.
Right.
Like, we didn't understand anything, and there was, like, so much innocence, and, like, kids were just, like, let to run free throughout the city, and, like,
cops
wouldn't check on us if we were alone, and...
Yeah, I get it.
Weird.
I get it, but it wasn't always like that, because, you know, yeah, a lot of kids were out to go out and play, and they did. They met friends. They communicated. They had fun. I had a lot of fun in my childhood. It wasn't always great, but I had a lot of fun as a kid. You know, I didn't live in the city. I lived in a town or a suburb, and then I lived in the country. So I grew up in a suburb, and I basically lived in. Well, I mean, I moved out to the country. That's where I spent my teen years. So I like either. But the country, I like it. Like, as I've gotten older, I want more peace and quiet and, like, nobody to fuck with me. I've just gotten that way.
Me too.
So
I like the country more.
So, yeah. But the issue is they're constantly being told to want more and more and more and more and more and more and more. It's, like, worse. It's, like, you've got to you should have a house. You should have a car. And all these young guys are, like, I want a house, a car, and a wife. I want all kinds of beautiful women. I want everything. Like, dude, like, it doesn't. And then the women are like, well, I need to have a 6-foot rippling muscle billionaire, you know. And I'm like, what? That never existed. Like, most people, they were okay with what they, you know, like, oh, this is good enough. This is fine.
Girls these days are just absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand this generation of girls. Like, I know we've talked about how I'm a mother of many girls, but I'm also a mother of many boys. And I have teenage boys, and they have talked to me about these women. And most of these young girls consider themselves feminists, quote unquote. And I was like, okay, so what does feminist mean these days? Because I'm like,
right.
Let me see. You don't know what these kids, you don't know what they're defining the terms as.
Right.
And so, like, feminists were just, like, basically anti-men. And I was like, when the fuck did feminists become anti-men?
Right.
And when did it become, like, women are the same as men and not, like, women have different needs, but we deserve equal representation?
Right. Yeah, they changed it all out. I mean, like, look, Ronnie James Dio, I was watching a documentary on him today. Great documentary. And basically, he married, and he stayed with her for for whole life, man. That's crazy. His whole life he stayed with this one woman. He married the actress from Death Race 2000. She walked into his rainbow bar, and they were together. And at first, she's like, well, I thought he was a little short at first. But we started talking, and he kept trying, and we finally... hit it off. She said, I went over to his house for, like, maybe a couple hours, and it was a couple days, a couple months, and then it was the rest of my life. And it was like, damn! And not only that, they fought. They had fight. I mean, they had fought and everything else, like, in every other relationship. But at the same time, he goes to her later on after he's got, you know, broken off with Sabbath and Rainbow and all that, and he's starting his own thing. And he says, I want you to be a manager. He says, I want you to manage me. I was like, I'm already your wife. You want me to manage the band too? He says, yeah, go ahead. And she does. She was his manager for as long as they were a band. I mean, throughout all the good times and all the bad times. I mean, when the 90s came, Dio was pretty much not doing so well, you know? Heavy metal didn't have a resurgence until the late 2000s. And that was because of Guitar Hero, mostly. But yeah, they stuck together. And it was all... And at first, the first thing she said, well, I didn't want to be with him because I thought he was a little short. And that's what a lot of these guys get upset about. They're like, oh, they're trying to, you got billionaires. This is a real thing. Real thing, Empress. They got billionaires that are trying to fucking do leg lengthening surgeries that break the bones to make people taller. And also that these fucking tech billionaires can get women. Because the women say they're too short and they don't want nothing to do with them. And that never stopped Ronnie James Dio. And again, I think it has to do with a lot of the brainwash. And on men's side, it's a problem too. because we got a lot of these guys going around in the manosphere, you know, fuck these women, bitches ain't shit, you know. Okay, sure, there's a lot of bitches out there that ain't shit, and you can attest to that. These modern women, there's a lot of them, you know, the young girls that you're talking about, the ones that your boys are telling you about, they're probably not going to do very well in life. They're probably not going to have a husband or children. They're probably, I mean, they might have kids, but they're probably not going to have a good relationship with anybody because they have a bad attitude towards men. Like, they don't know how to work. And I liked one thing that Ronnie James Dio said. Or not him, but Wendy Dio said, we had a lot of fights. And there were times where he would walk off for a while, and he would go and he'd leave out, and he'd come back. And she said, we always stuck by because we were a team. And that's what they fucking forget. When you get in a relationship with somebody, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like, even if, you know, I even got to talk about the women here. It's not your romance novel. You know, I like romance novels, and even with the anime, the waifu guys, I know you like the visual novels that we play and all that, but a real relationship is not those. Those are fine for fantasies. Like, those are, I mean, nobody said you can't have fantasies, but you can't expect a real relationship to be like fiction. It's not. It's hard work. You have to work together as a team to solve problems.
It is. That's the key part. The teamwork. Because I've been in too many relationships where all the work was coming from one side.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys didn't want to do anything. They wanted you to do everything. It's,
yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. Like, and that's what we got. That's literally what we got these days. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, but again, the sad part is, and I've talked to a doll shop owner. The guy that owns a big doll shop. He sells all these sex dolls all the time. And he said the biggest problem is, in a perfect world, there'd be no need for my business. Men and women, if men and women would get along properly and understand what's going on, there wasn't all this craziness, there wouldn't be a need for my stuff. People wouldn't need sex dolls. They'd have people. This is a guy that sells the dolls. Like, none of this shit should be necessary.
This is why we need more therapists. We need more therapists. We need more sex workers. We need more sacred sex workers. We need more sex therapists.
Yeah, we need more sex therapists for sure. And we also need, well, I mean, honestly, we need, it's a little funny to put it this way, but there's this one visual novel I read where it's about the sex police. Basically, if there's somebody that's horny, they're equipped with condoms and everything else, and they're like, and they go around and they say, hey, this guy, he's kind of dangerous, we gotta, you know, I think a lot of this, like, guys going crazy that we had shooting and all this shit, and even the stuff that they're reading about these guys kind of points to it. A lot of guys are horny, and they're pent up, and they don't know what to do about it, and they lose their fucking mind, and they get aggressive and violent. I've even listened to Chris Ryan talk about this, and he is a psychologist. And he said, look, it happens. He said, when women are basically, they're not getting any kind of romance or any kind of thing like that, they get depressed. When men aren't getting sex, they get aggressive. Like, when they get depressed, you know, one gets depressed, one gets aggressive. Men get aggressive and crazy. They start doing things. You can look at history. What happened when these men were not getting sex? They went and they killed the enemies and they raped the women. I mean, yeah, that's just how it was. And, I mean, that's what we got. And they're like, why are these men going crazy and acting like this? Because you don't have women out there. Other women are like, I don't want to be with him. You know, there's no women out there saying, hey, this guy here, he's fucking violent. He's not too bad. It may be the worst sex in the world, but, I mean, maybe because the guy needs to learn. Another issue that I've found is a lot of women want the guy to be super experienced. And if you're talking to like a virgin guy or like a dude that's like literal incel, he's never been with any woman, like he doesn't know anything, you can't expect it to be perfect. It's probably going to be terrible. But you're supposed to actually work with him and teach him how to do it. You know, it's like, how can you teach somebody to fucking build a house? I mean, how can you, it's like saying, hey, yeah. I want you to build this
and
house.
And that's a problem because a lot of women don't know how to tell you what to do. And here's the other thing, because I was with a virgin and I was more experienced with him. And I took his virginity. He's my first baby daddy. And he made me feel ashamed any time I would tell him what I wanted.
Damn. But I don't know. But there's also a lot of pressure on men to be like sex gods. And I'm talking about when they first start out. I have talked to a lot of guys that are really good at sex. And you know why they're good at sex? Because they've been with a lot of different women, and they've been able to talk to a lot of different women, and they know what women want. So when women are like, oh my god, this guy's amazing, because they've been with all kinds of women, and they know what women want. But at the same time, this guy's kind of a gigolo. So he knows what women want. He knows, and they're like, oh my god, that was amazing. And of course, he's not wanting to be with any of them. That's just his job. That's what he does. They pay him for that. I mean, that's just how it is. They pay him money. And there was one woman that paid him money just... Look, this is a real thing. I'm not going to explain who this is. But this woman paid this man money for her... for him to teach her how to have sex. She said, if you teach me how to have sex, because I really don't know. I don't really know what guys want. I don't know any of this. I'll pay you money. And he did. He taught her and she did pay him. He was just teaching her. That shows that people literally don't know how to do it. Like, they don't know what's going on.
Exactly. And that's why we need more sex workers and therapists.
Yeah, we need sex workers. We need therapists. Yeah. We need hookers. Like, and I mean, when I say hookers, I mean, like, you could say sex workers. But, yeah, girls that have benefits in a building with fucking medical and dental. And, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Look,
that's what we need. Because you don't...
Look. There was... Shit. If it was respectable, I would have done did it.
Yeah.
Because I'm so good at this. I'm so good at blowjobs. I'm so good at fucking. This is my thing.
Right.
And this was my thing at an early age. Like, I don't know. Like, it was happening to me so much. And then, like, my dad, I would find my dad's, like, porn magazines. And I'd read his Men's Health. And I'd be like, oh, so that's how you please a man. And I was, like, super into it. And I was like, I want to be really good at sex. Like, that was my thing. So, like, I don't know. Like, that's, you know.
Well, I mean,
like,
honest to God,
why not? Like, I was into it.
I don't think
I was into it. I liked it. Why not? Why shouldn't I get paid for it?
I don't think you'd have any offense to this, but really, people like you are the ones that should be operating. You should be like a madam, like literally operating a facility and teaching these girls. Think about.
Thank you very much. I would love to do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. People like you need to be doing that. There's a lot of women out there that have skills and experience that can teach these girls, and then these guys will go in there, and you gotta think about it. How many countries do we have? Now, I don't know, like, if you wanna give me the statistics, guys watching, go ahead and give me the statistics. But what I'm saying is, I don't know how many other countries where we have, you know, legal prostitution, where guys can go to brothels. I don't see the incel shootings going on over there. I don't. Like, I don't. Everything happened in the United States. They're like, it's the guns! It's the guns' fault! Oh, we gotta get rid of all the guns! Oh my god! Why are these incels stabbing everybody? Well, he picked up a rock and beat that guy to death. Like, he used his fists! You know? I mean, you can... It doesn't really matter. If you're crazy, you're crazy. If, you know, you gotta... Some of these guys, like, I've talked to them, they're so fucking scared. Like, they're literally, it's fear. And fear is dangerous in a young man. Because these guys are scared. Oh, I'm never gonna get that. I'm never gonna get, what my father had. I'm never gonna get, I'm never gonna have sex. I'm too ugly. People don't, it's like, dude, there's somebody out there that will have sex with you. It's like, and then there's women out there that's like, oh, yes, I can't find.
Absolutely is.
So, it's a bad situation, man, and it's not going to get any better. But one thing that, like, I really kind of had to leave.
I think it can.
It might. It depends on legislation and everything else. See, this is that's a progressive thing. Sexual, what you're talking about is progressive. What we're talking about is not conservative. Conservative would be abstinence. Conservative would be abstinence, but abstinence is not necessarily the greatest measure. Like, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, just
no,
wait.
No, abstinence is not going to work. We've tried that in the past, and it hasn't worked. That's why we have, you know, close to 9 billion people on the planet. Abstinence doesn't work. We need some newer measures, you know? And, you know, if we need spinning pussies, then let's just have spinning pussies. If we need spinning assholes, then let's have spinning assholes. I don't give a fuck.
I'll have to talk to Revy about that one. Hey, Revy, I got another idea for you. But, all right. Well, I think we've pretty much exhausted this whole conversation. Thanks for being a part of this. I think this has been a really good one. I am trying something different, guys. You notice that you're actually hearing the sounds of the game instead of the music we normally play. I figured I already have the audio for this. I might as well use it. And I got a new method for encoding all my videos, so things shouldn't be as choppy or blurry as they used to be. But yeah, this is the Grim Lord and Empress. I thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks.
And this is the Grim Rant Show, and I am out. I'll see you guys later. Enjoy the decline.